Adventures in Research.
I see where some folks are worried about America's supply of oil. Running short, they say.
Yeah. But did you see where they found a new supply in mountains of shale? We won't go short. Don't worry.
This is Paul Shannon introducing another in the series of programs dealing with the thrilling adventures to be found in the field of scientific research, as told by the men of science themselves. And here is our man of science, ready with today's story, Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories.
Thank you, Paul. Hello, everyone.
Dr. Thomas, what's all this about America's reserve supply of oil running short?
If you're worrying about not being able to run your car, Mr. Shannon, I wouldn't lose a week of sleep over the subject at all. Our story today concerns the oil situation on a big national scale.
America has, in less than 30 years, fought two world wars, during which both gasoline and oil were consumed at an extravagant rate. Naturally, this has materially decreased our reserve supplies, which are at present very low. Obviously, gentlemen, something must be done to bring our reserve supply of petroleum up to peacetime normal.
That's the situation in a nutshell. But now I'd like to go back a number of years to the wastelands of western Colorado, where a camper is trying to get a campfire started.
Ain't no use. Hey, Hank! Hank!
Yeah? What you want, Sam?
Come over here and see if you can get this flame fire going. I've fooled around with it long enough.
Seems like this country's run plumb out of wood.
Having trouble again, Sam?
Try your hand at lighting this fire, Hank, or we ain't gonna have no supper. Leastwise, no hot supper.
Yeah, trouble is we got no wood except this little bit here. That ain't enough to get a fire going right. Well, I'll try. Well, Sam, looks like we'd our supper cold.
I'll fix that fire. Stand aside, Hank. I'm gonna throw this rock in there and fix it right.
Sam! Sam, look! That stone you threw into the fire, it's burning.
Well, I'll be hornswoggled if it ain't. What do you make of it, Hank?
I don't know, Sam. But I do know that it's the best and hottest campfire I ever saw in these parts.
Sure is. Come on, let's pile some more of them on. Get supper going. Fire like that'll cook beans in no time at all.
Now, go easy on the stones, though, Sam. Might be it was just that one that burns.
No, sir. Every one of them stones is burning away like crazy.
Wait till we tell some of the boys around here about this.
They'll never believe it. You can bet your boots on that. I wouldn't myself if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes.
No, me neither. And these burning rocks have been here all the time, and we never knew it.
But I tell you, it's true. Hank and me built the best campfire you ever saw with it.
You show me a rock around here that'll burn like wood, and then I'll eat it.
I've a right good notion to make you keep that bet, Grimley, but I won't. I'll just go ahead and prove it to you.
And now you're talking, Sam. And we can prove it on their own little fire right here. Ain't no bigger than a hoot I'll know how.
Hand me one of them rocks, Hank. Okay. Now watch this, Grimley. And get ready to eat it.
Well, I'll be a suffering bull, Cat. It's burning.
You
just like I said it would.
Sam, I take back what I said. Every word of it. Boy, we got ourselves a real campfire. Thanks to Sam here for telling us about it. And every sheep herder in this part of the country will thank you too, Sam. As long as we got these stones, there's millions of them around here. We don't need to look for no wood.
That's right.
The news about the burning stone spread rapidly, and throughout the wastelands of Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming, campfires burned briskly as sheep herders tended their flocks at night. And naturally, the story spread to officials of the government, who made a survey and obtained a report.
And so I investigated the situation throughout the entire area. The burning rocks turned out to be oil shale, gentlemen. The mountains in Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming are full of it.
Oil shale. And big deposits, you say?
That whole section of the country is loaded with oil shale deposits.
Well, then we'd better chart them on our maps here at the Bureau of Mines, so we know where they are. But the question is, what good are those oil shale deposits?
Oil shale can be processed into gasoline and lubricating oil, you know. In fact, shale oil has been recognized as an industry over in France since the early 1800s.
That's right. And back in 1850, Dr. James Young got a patent on a process for distilling paraffin oil from bituminous coal. And that worked right up to the time petroleum was discovered in this country.
Well, if you want to go that far back, shale oil has been an industry in Scotland since around 1862. But I still repeat, what good are these shale oil deposits to us? We don't need the shale oil. We've got large reserves of natural petroleum, which is cheaper and better.
Well, shall we just forget about it then?
Just chart the shale oil deposits on our maps. And let it go at that for the time being.
World War I reared its ugly head, was fought and won. Shale oil deposits remained unused, unheeded, save as areas charted on the maps in the United States Bureau of Mines. World War II, fought across the world, ended victoriously for the Allies. And looking back at the tremendous inroads made by war's demands upon the country's reserve petroleum supplies, we took stock of our oil situation.
In the United States, a total of 13,400 wildcat wells were drilled, more than in any like period in pre-war history.
5,800,000,000 barrels of crude oil were produced domestically.
Another 750 million barrels came from United States properties abroad.
The two big-inch pipelines, emergency war carriers, built from inland Texas oil fields and refineries to the Atlantic coast, delivered a total of more than 368 million barrels of petroleum and refined products.
Gentlemen, I read you a portion of a letter of thanks and acknowledgement of the accomplishments of the United States oil industry in furnishing 90% of the oil requirements of the United Nations. It reads, "The Army-Navy Petroleum Board extends to you and through you the entire staff of the Petroleum Administration for War and the entire American petroleum industry its deep appreciation and admiration for the superb contribution which has been made to the victory of the United Nations by providing in full and on time the vast flood of petroleum products required by the armed forces during World War II.
Our reserve supplies of natural petroleum have been seriously depleted by the terrific demands made upon them during the war years. We've had an opportunity to investigate from what sources the Germans and the Japanese obtained their oil supplies during the war. And much of it was from shale.
And we've got an endless supply of shale oil here in America.
True. And these deposits have been charted for many years. While it's true that we have enough petroleum still underground to last for many years, it would be wise for us to look ahead to the future years and have on hand an extra source of supply.
What about the shale oil deposits? They could be used.
That's exactly what I had in mind. Shale oil. I'd like to have an investigation conducted and a report made on the supplies we can expect from these shale deposits.
Reporting on shale oil deposits, in the shale mountains of Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming alone, there are approximately 100 billion barrels of oil.
Why, that's just about five times as much oil as we've used since the first petroleum well was drilled back in the 1850s in Titusville, Pennsylvania.
Our reports show that the oil from the shale in those three states alone could keep us going for some 68 years.
Good.
And there are also shale deposits in Texas, Nevada, Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky.
We're in good shape, then.
And when all those oil shale deposits are finished, we could make more oil by the hydrogenation of coal, enough to keep us going for 400 or 500 years.
Gentlemen, I suggest we start building a plant to augment our reserve petroleum supplies and build it right away.
A good idea. And we don't have to start from scratch, either. We have all the data on both the German and Japanese methods.
Yes. Now the idea is to go on from there and improve on it.
Building here, mister?
I'm gonna build a plant to get oil out of the shale, my friend.
Yeah. Seems to me you took on quite a job. How are you gonna do it?
Well, the plant will be built right here. This will be the refining plant. And we get the shale from the mountain.
Oh, now, look, mister. That mountain's about a couple of thousand feet above the Colorado River. How are you gonna get the shale from the mountain? Fly it down?
No. We figure on having a mine up there in the mountain.
Huh?
The shale will be mined up there, then shipped down to the plant here by aerial tramway.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Guess that can be done all right. Are you figuring on getting the oil out of the shale? That's going to be tough.
Nothing tough about it, my friend. The shale comes into the plant on the aerial tramway.
Huh?
It gets crushed, then it gets heated.
What's the heat do?
It makes the oil come out of the rock in a vapor. The vapor is condensed back into oil. And there you are.
Sounds like quite a system. Guess you just throw that crushed rock away, huh?
That's right. It's no good so far as we know now. Although somebody might come up with an idea on how to use it for something or other. Who knows?
Seems like they're finding a use for everything these days. Well, better put a clothespin on your nose when you get your system working.
A clothespin? Why? What's that for?
Well, maybe you ain't been around shale oil much. Kind of hard on the nose till you get used to it.
You mean it has an odor?
Odor, nothing. It just plain smells, mister. Smells bad. Well, so long. Good luck.
We have one more point to clean up on this production of shale oil, gentlemen, and that's the question of cost.
It's going to be a little higher than natural petroleum, of course, to produce.
Yes, but that, I'm sure, will iron itself out in time. As natural petroleum gets scarcer, prices will come closer to shale oil costs, but that's nothing to worry about for some time to come.
Meanwhile, we have the oil situation well in hand, I think, or we'll have when the new plant gets underway.
Yes, and even though shale oil contains less hydrogen than does petroleum, the day may come when shale oil will be the principal motor fuel of America.
And who knows, that day may not be too far off. But when it comes, gentlemen, we're ready for it.
And so you see, Mr. Shannon, there are men of science who are always thinking ahead, planning for the future. So there's really no need for you to worry about running short of oil for many, many years to come.
The story of how America plans to get oil from shale was told by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Be sure to join us again next week when Dr. Thomas will be back with another interesting story to tell on Adventures in Research.